Welcome, friends. You're listening to The Feeling is Musicals, presented by the Snohomish County Music Project. My name is Erica Lee, and today we are talking about community music therapy with board-certified music therapist Cassie Fox. Cassie is a board-certified music therapist who supports youth and adults during transitional periods and in using music for expression and emotional release. With nearly 3 years of clinical experience, Cassie has been working with youth in various community settings for over 13 years. Their work is community-oriented with an anti-oppressive lens and a client-centered approach. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for being with us, Cassie. I think this is your first time on the podcast. Yeah. Cassie is one of my good friends in addition to being a wonderful music therapist, and I'm really excited to have you on and talk about community music therapy. I know this is like your particular thing, kind of your passion project. You're really good at doing community-oriented services, so I'm excited for the listeners to get all of your wisdom and your nuggets of things. I don't know. All right, so let's just like start with the basics. So I'm assuming for listeners' sake that maybe they don't have never heard the term community music therapy before. What is, or how do you quote unquote define community music therapy?
First, just to say that when I'm talking about my work as community centered or having a community approach to it, there is something in the field of music therapy that people will talk about as community music therapy. Mm. And I just want to clarify that the things I describe here may be a little bit different from some of those definitions that'll come up, just because my work is not defined from studies and what other people have done, but it is defined by my experiences. And so to give an understanding of what that experience and what my background is that has led me to this sort of approach or orientation is that I worked for about 8 years in a public library setting. Mm. So in working in the library, I became very passionate about outreach services and eventually took a position in the outreach department so I could really focus on that work. And that work was very much about taking services and resources to people so that not only was that access available within the library, but that could also be accessible to people wherever they were in the community.
Okay, wow. Yeah. We've talked personally about your work in the library system before and what that looked like. I know you have extensive experience working particularly with adolescents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And accessibility is a huge thing. I know personally for you that matters, that people have access to resources. Right. Okay, so earlier when I asked you about defining community music therapy, you had said that yours looks a little bit different from textbook community music therapy. Can you tell me more about what that difference is or looks like for you?
Yeah, I think that I just wanted to clarify that because my experience is defined by work in the community before it was defined by anything music therapy related, that informs, as our experiences do, that informs the work that I do. Mm. So I just wanted to clarify that while there are other individuals who have also come to sort of a community orientation or approach to music therapy, that what they have written about may sound differently than what I do. But really, we may just have different ways of defining what community music therapy looks like.
Okay. Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I have another clarifying question is that a common phrase that we hear in the arts community is community music, quote unquote. And so what is the difference between community music therapy, yes, and community music?
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is important and helpful. So honestly, I think the short and specific difference is that community music therapy is something that is facilitated by a board-certified music therapist.
Mm.
Whereas community music or community music experiences or performances those can be events or situations that are facilitated by performers, or, you know, situations like where you might have an orchestra member who goes in place for people in the hospital, audience participation pieces. So it can just be community music, in my mind, has kind of this very loose, all-encompassing definition, whereas community music therapy is more focused on just that it is facilitated by a music therapist.
Okay. And so then that facilitation, what does that bring to the table in a community program that you might not find in a different music community program?
So I think probably one of the biggest differences in my mind, just when I think about music therapy in comparison to other fields, is that music therapy is very much a process-oriented experience. So while I might have some of my groups that are focused around learning music, I'm not as focused on the individual's technique or the way that they are learning music, so that they are, meaning, are they reading a piece of sheet music? Or are they following my fingers on the keys to learn the music? Any of that is okay in music therapy. But music is more the process we are moving through than music is the objective. The objective is more focused on, here's this person or here are these people in this space. What do they need or what do they want? And let's use music to help achieve that.
Okay. Yeah, so when, in the very first episode, we talked about what is music therapy, and V, who is our mutual colleague, was talking about how music therapy essentially is a music relationships and boundaries, and the boundaries is that therapeutic relationship part, and so it sounds like community music therapy is just adding a communal or social element to that definition, and then working towards whatever the predetermined goal or objective is for that person or group.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we've already touched on your library experience with community programming through the library. How does your that personal experience or other personal experiences you have, how does that impact your approach to community music therapy?
I found through my library work and in working in various grassroots community organizations, that approaching situations, approaching experiences with people with a certain level of flexibility or fluidity, despite whatever experiences or resources I was bringing into the space as opportunities for what could happen that day, led to just a lot of meaningful relationship building. And, you know, opportunities that you didn't necessarily walk in the door expecting would be present because you were open to those developing through that lived experience with someone else.
I really like that. Yeah. Having the, it's centered on relationships and centered on like the reality of what's happening and not this. Here are like what as I perceive as your circumstances, and then coming in with like a set agenda
exactly
for what's going to happen.
Exactly.
It's responding in the moment to whatever is happening. So that then I assume if that is your primary modality of doing therapy, you are very good at improvising and adapting to situations.
I try to be, but I think, yeah, I think that that's kind of the point, and I think that, that's something that can look a little confusing or chaotic to people sometimes, or disorganized, or maybe unprepared.
Yeah.
But in actuality, you came in with, well, as people say in many professions, a lot of tools in your tool belt.
Yeah. Right?
You came in with all kinds of ideas about what could happen that day. So you're prepared for a variety, but you're also prepared for the fact that things could go very differently than you had planned. I think people in all kinds of fields experience this every day. So I think that's like very relatable across.
Yeah. So what can you describe maybe like one of the programs that you primarily facilitate? Because I know you co-facilitate with some other therapists. And can you describe maybe like an example of a time when you thought you were going to do X activity and then you had to change it up based on the circumstances of that moment?
I think I'm going to give you an example of a group that is fairly open-ended to begin with.
Okay.
Which is a group that sort of existed in a different way a year ago. Sorry. Formally existed in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But that I started again in December. And it's a teen community music therapy group. And so for that group lasts for an hour. The youth come in, we sit down, we're sitting down in a circle, so everyone's together, therapist, intern, teens, and any staff that have come with them. Because sometimes staff from various sites that are transporting the youth will also attend. So kind of, I guess, drawing on that community-oriented approach, we're all in it together, we're all sitting side by side, we're all going to participate. That's what that looks like. I had a recent session that was a very small group. And just because of how people came into that space that day, and because, you know, youth that I was familiar with had shown up that day, so I already had some understanding of things they were into, I said, hey, what if we just like listen to some music and talk about some music that's important to us right now? So I didn't anticipate that being the whole session, but that ended up being the whole session just because there were some other things that came up or that people needed to talk about that day. And so we just held space for that and just let it be. And then at the very end of that session, I think I played through the course of Count On Me or something, like a song that I anticipated many people to be familiar with so that they could sing along with it if they wanted to, and something to just bring us all back in together and maybe ground us a little bit after some personal things had been shared. And that's what that session looked like that was different from the usual.
The usual. That's super cool. I really like that. You've alluded to several times that the community music therapy approach allows for organic and spontaneous moments where clients can express and be vulnerable, and you're holding space for that. That doesn't fall within like a preset agenda, and you're not really rigid to that agenda. How does the community music therapy approach impact client progress? Does it increase progress? Is it just a different modality? There's no like way to track like the difference. Does that make sense? Because there are different approaches to the way you can facilitate any therapy, music therapy, talk therapy, etc.
Are you saying, does it impact progress differently than another modality would?
Yeah.
I would be hesitant to suggest that community music therapy encourages a greater amount of progress than any other approach, mostly because I believe that a therapist using an approach that is authentic and valuable to them is going to have the most impact for that particular therapist. I can say that for myself, being someone who prioritizes sort of this anti-oppressive, client-centered approach, that it is very important to me to facilitate in a way that is supportive and helps people to feel safe in a space because they know there is someone there and they have some understanding of my purpose in being there and that it's important, that they are important to me, that it's important to me to be in that space. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there's that. But it's important to me to sort of like break down some of those power structures, because I feel like that once we can break those down, that's where there's the real opportunity for people to be empowered in a space and to encourage authentic expression, because when we are empowered, then there might be more opportunity for that. So that's kind of where, when I was describing that everyone in the space, whether it's the teens in the group, myself, if there's an intern or another therapist, or if there are other staff or teachers involved, that we are all sitting there and in it together, and that there is this awareness of we all can participate in this. Yeah.
I really like that.
It helps. Yeah.
I really like that.
And it gives that sense of, I guess, like, so community, right? Going beyond just what I am getting out of this as an individual, but having that opportunity to connect to not only my, like if you're a teen, not only my peers, but also maybe now today I'm connecting to the therapist. I'm also connecting to the staff person because, like, usually they're maybe in charge. I feel like they're in charge of me in whatever capacity they work with me in. Mm. But in this music space, because that staff person's not the one facilitating, it sort of creates this opportunity where they can engage with one another and get to know each other in another sort of way. Mm. And so that helps, I guess, just helps facilitate some bonding within some of those other relationships that are outside of me and the individuals I'm working with, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. In the social justice and music therapy episode, we talked quite a bit about the inherent power structure mm-hmm. in a therapist-client relationship. And good. So I really like how you apply that knowledge, I guess, to the community approach. And that's kind of the driving force for you behind the community approach, is that by being in community where everyone is as much on the same plane as reasonably possible, because you're never going to totally get rid of inherent power structures.
Right.
That is what is creating organic moments and greater vulnerability and et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. And I think because of those inherent power structures, that's part of the reason it is so important that we are practicing, that we are being reflexive in our practice, and that we are spending time reading or exploring, like, an understanding of other voices in the world outside of, like, our own therapeutic facilitation.
Sure.
So right now I'm taking a social justice approaches in music therapy course for this reason, because while I've already taken some steps and, like, you know, I'm trying to do the best that I can, I know that there's always more work that we can do. And so I'm trying to gain more understanding in how I can do things better.
Exactly. I love that. Continuing education is never a bad thing. Like, no. Always be learning, always be growing. Uh-huh. And you and your clients will receive the benefit from that. If you don't have clients, you'll still receive the benefit from that.
I feel like I have been so lucky because not only, like, here at the Music Project, but, you know, also when I worked for the library, like, I've just been really lucky to work in environments where that is encouraged, where it's this idea of learning through life and learning to enhance the work that you do is prioritized.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yay, yes.
Yeah.
We love it. Good. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for talking with us today about community music therapy. Do you, for listeners that want to know more, do you have any resources you recommend? Books, podcasts?
Do you want me to state them?
Online? Well, if you don't have any on top of your head, that's totally okay. What we do for listeners, notice, and for you, is we put them in the episode notes, and they're also on our website.
Yes. Yeah, no, I absolutely have some suggestions. It's just that names are not always
that's okay. That's right, okay. In my head, so listeners, if you would like to know more about community music therapy, you can check out our website. It is S as in Sam, C as in Cat, musicproject.org. Go to the podcast page and we'll put the resources, links and such in there for you. I'll get them from Cassie later. Also, if you'd like to know more about the Snohomish County Music Project, you can follow us on social media across all the major platforms at SC Music Project. Next week, we have a brand new guest, Colby Cummin. He is also one of our mutual colleagues. He's a fantastic music therapist, and he'll be sharing with us about a trauma-informed approach to music therapy, particularly in regards to a therapist's interactions with the client, as well as the impacts of trauma-informed care on assessments and other administrative tasks. Thank you again, Cassie, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, listeners, for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Do 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 do.